You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Well, you've asked for it, and we're back. I have returned for a second season, another year of big-name interviews with coaches, players, and legends that have made the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague exactly what it is today. Once again, I'll be getting down and dirty with these special guests and find out what life is all about for European basketball elite, both on and off the court. Stay tuned and remember, no subject is ever out of bounds when you're on The Crossover. Welcome back to The Crossover. I'm sitting here in the center of Madrid at the Hotel Hesperian, one of the nicest hotels here in Madrid. This is Joe R. Lucas, and this is the second season, and I'm so happy to be sitting down with all the stars of the EuroLeague. And today, my guest is someone I've been trying to nail down for quite a while, but this guy's like a supermodel, man. I could never get in touch with him. Why would a supermodel want to talk to me anyways? But finally, I got him, man. A superstar point guard with a laser eye from behind the arc and the European championship in his possession. But it's his story that makes him a real winner and a real inspiration. Ali Mohammed. Welcome, my man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
How's the trip?
Trip was a little bit tough, but you know, it's all right. It's
stick
all
with
good.
Me. Stick with me for a little while. We'll get you a nap real quick.
I'm here.
How you feel? You in shape for the new year?
Yeah, I'm good, man. You know, I had a good summer.
36, bro.
Yeah, man. 36. Climbing up there.
Where you spend your summers? In Chicago? You stay out here?
I'm still in Chicago. Yeah, with the family.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Look. I'm sure you've listened to The Crossover before, right? Who have you listened to?
I think I heard.
Are you serious? You actually listened to one?
I listened to one, not the whole thing, but a little bit of it. Who was that? It was last season.
I forgot. Well, at least I got that out of you.
Yeah, I forget who it was.
Well, I know there'll be one more night you listen to.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I explained to you before we got on the mic, there's somewhat of a long story, a life story, I should say, about success you've had and success you're having.
Yeah.
You know, but your life is a story, man. It goes way beyond success. I'm assuming that's the reason why you wrote a book about the whole thing, just to get it. Did you just want to get it on paper?
I mean, you know, I just felt that like people coming from my situation, I think they need to hear it, you know, and I think the world need to hear it because it's not every day that somebody come out of them situations.
It's more than improbable.
It's not.
There's no word from everything that I've researched and I've learned, and now we're going to learn now together here. It just doesn't seem impossible.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I wasn't brought up in anything like you were brought up, but I was brought up in the inner city, and I saw a lot of stuff, but nothing like, you know, what we're about to talk about. And
right.
Not too many people make it, if any.
No.
If any.
It's rare, bro.
So you're born in Chicago.
Born in Chicago.
Tough part of town, and you're born in a staircase.
Yeah, like my mom, she had me by herself on the staircase, you know. She was coming from the laundromat, and I couldn't wait. You know, I had to.
You just want to get out.
I had to come up out of there. You know, I'm claustrophobic, so.
And it's a difficult neighborhood, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like, that neighborhood then wasn't that bad, but, you know, she moved to Cabrini Green Projects. It's, like, one of the worst housing projects in Chicago, so that's where.
And she was in and out of jail through most of your childhood. I mean, that to me or to anybody else listening to this, that just sounds crazy.
I mean,
but
like
for you, it was the norm.
Yeah, I mean, it was like for me, it's like my whole family come from that. Like, my mom was in jail, my dad was in jail, my brothers, my sisters. Like,
you're the youngest.
I'm the youngest of five.
Of five.
Yeah. So I'm the youngest of five, and, you know, I'm growing up seeing all that craziness.
Right.
And it's just like, what you gonna do, you know?
What's your first memory? Like, you didn't have a normal childhood, but, like, sleepovers, I'm assuming, and you know, like,
with my cousin,
Right, but
grandma's house.
Yeah, okay, but that's typical. That's
not
within
like
the
with
family.
Other kids, nah.
But what's your first real memory of childhood?
My first real memory is me going to school, Bird Elementary School, was when I really found out that, like, the projects that I grew up in, it was two different sides. One of my, it was like this side, you couldn't go on that side. If you're from this building, you couldn't go on that side. And if you're from this building, you had to stay on this side.
Like so, a gang thing?
Yeah, it was like territorial. And buildings is like super close in proximity to each other.
And I mean, that's something you have to learn.
Yeah.
better learn it quick.
Yeah, you had to learn that early.
Because, I mean, in a normal neighborhood, you're probably not going out of the house on your own until 15, 16. But in this situation, I'm sure you just kind of set
This is like first, second grade, though.
Right,
like, you know that this building is GD's, this building is MC's. So it's like, and they rivals.
And the same thing with the high schools, too? Is it? Or the grammar schools?
When I was, that was when I was living in the projects. That's how it was.
Right.
It was like super extreme. But when I went to high school, it wasn't like that.
How much was your father a part of your childhood?
I mean, my dad was always around, but he wasn't around.
Right.
You know, like, my dad never taught me, like, anything, like, manly. You know what I'm saying? Like, he never came to any of my basketball games. He never came. I mean, he just was around, but I think he had a lot of stuff going on mentally that he was dealing with, you know?
Right. So. Now, when we say your mom was in and out of jail, all right. Mm-hmm. I want to try to quantify it more or less. Uh-huh. Does that mean like she got busted, she went to jail, came back home the next night, tonight, or was it
like when
extended periods of time?
First time I remember my mom going to jail was 10. Mm-hmm. And she was selling drugs, you know. I was old enough to understand what she was doing, you know, but I used to be in the alley playing basketball a little bit with a couple of my friends.
So you were balling at that early.
In the alley, though. I wasn't on no courts, though.
Right,
I was
wherever you can.
Super hood, like with a crate. Shooting on the right like that, you know what I mean? So
I love it.
Yeah, and she got busted. Then she did 3 years, and I had to go
three
live.
3 years.
Yeah, I had to go live with my aunt. And my aunt, she was on drugs and shit too. She had 5 kids. So me and my brother, close to age to me, we went to stay with her.
So you got out of one and just jumped right into another.
Yeah, it was just like I had to go. You know what I mean? Go stay with her. And my dad, he just went wherever he went. So.
Now, you said it was when you were 10 years old. What I researched was that was the same time that your brother was killed.
Like, when my mom went to jail, we was with our aunt for a couple months, and my brother was in the street a little bit. That's when he got killed.
How did you find out about that? How does that news come to you as a 10-year-old? How do you take it as a 10-year-old?
I mean, I was like, he was the closest one to me from my family, you know what I'm saying? So,
as far as age is concerned?
My brother was 4 years older than me.
Okay.
And he was the closest age to me. My other brother is 10 years older than my other brother's like 9 years older.
Did you have much of a relationship with them? Or?
I mean, they was teenagers.
Right.
They was
were
in
out
the street.
Doing their things.
They are doing their thing. They in gangs. You know, they doing their own things. But my brother, he was the closest to me. So I was in the house, and it was probably like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, Humboldt Park neighborhood in Chicago. And I just remember hearing like, it was maybe like 3 blocks away. And then I just heard my cousin scream. You know,
from 3 blocks away.
Nah, in the house.
Oh,
I think
house.
Somebody
okay.
came to knocked on the door and told her.
Oh, okay.
And I just heard her scream, and then we all just came outside and like, what's going on? And my auntie, she's hysterical. You know, it just was crazy.
Man, you give me the chills over here.
Yeah,
man.
It was like a crazy moment.
Normally, an event like that can change someone's life, but at 10 years old, I mean, how much? Can it really, I mean, I can't imagine that moment change your life that much because you didn't have much to change. You're only 10. It's not
like
you're,
you know. But it kind of like put me in like a dark place though, like to feelings wise, you know what I mean? Because it was like, I didn't have really nobody at that time. You know what I mean? Like my brother's day out doing that thing, my mom in jail,
right.
My father, guys know where he at.
So you were
and
alone.
I just lost the closest things to me,
right.
And which was my brother. And he was like 13.
So with all this craziness going on around,
you
know, of course for you it's not craziness, it's the norm.
It's just like,
When did you first pick up a basketball? You said something about playing in the alley, but I mean, when did you like really get on a court and see like a real rim and you know hear that ball go through that net and swish?
Sounds
so good.
Like probably my first time ever getting in the gym was probably when I was like 11, 12, and by that time I had moved north. And I kind of like moved with my grandma and my auntie. I was like back and forth with them. And then I started playing football, American football. You know what I'm saying?
You don't have to tell me American football. Yeah. I know what that means, man. Come on, we're from the same country.
Right. So, but you know. So
it's the only football.
Yeah. So, you know, football was first. Like,
right, of course.
I thought that was what I was going to do.
Right.
But then, you know, one day I was in a park Margate Park.
You had to be a running back, right?
No, I was a cornerback.
Cornerback, like a little receiver.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. I had good hands at that age, but I was super small.
Right.
Quick, but not like fast, but I was like skinny as super skinny. And one day after practice, you know, it was like this men's league going on. It was like a midnight league, and it was like NBA pros in there.
You were how old?
I was like 11. And it's the gym packed. You know, I'm just dirty little kid coming for football practice, you know, sitting on the floor, seeing these couple NBA dudes, Michael Finley and Tim Hardaway playing in this gym. And I just see this dude, Tim Hardaway, coming down just like pulling
up. Balling right there.
Pulling up from crazy deep. I'm like, damn, how's this dude doing that? I'm like, damn, I got to learn how to do that.
Because I was amazed.
And that's what made me fall in love with basketball right there.
And he was a short dude too.
Yeah, he was little too, man. Yeah, but he was pulling that thing.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry. It wasn't like the first person you saw was 7'1". Nah. You're like, man, I can't do that. Nah, forget it.
It was Tim Hardaway. Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming I didn't read this anywhere, but I'm assuming that you probably got into selling drugs too.
Did you
get into doing them too?
Nah, I never did it.
You never did it. A lot of people that I've been through my life that sold drugs never did it. Never.
That was just like a number one rule that you know, like for with me, I seen my mom doing it. I seen my family members doing it. And I just always told myself this, like, I'm never doing that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you see what it do to people.
Well, it's crazy, man.
Physically, you know what I mean?
I've lost friends to it. And you know.
I just couldn't.
But the thing that strikes me the most is, and I think you kind of indirectly mentioned this one time, I'm going to kind of make it just a little clear. Mm-hmm. If my mom and dad were lawyers, mm-hmm. I'd grow up maybe wanting to be a lawyer.
Exactly.
If my mom and dad were teachers or coaches, I'd want to follow in their footsteps. Yeah. I mean, you're just in the family business.
Yeah, it's social learning, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, a product of your own environment is what it amounts to. And that's just your family business.
Exactly. But I never really wanted to do it. It was more of a survival tactic for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I always told myself, man, I don't want to do that shit. Like, I want
to
do something
different. Look, man, when I was 16, my dad told me I had to go to get a job because I had to help out around the house. My parents didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
I had to bring in some money to help out around the house. And I was like, Dad, I just want to play sports.
Right.
But it's the same thing, but yours starts young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I had to learn fast, bro.
Yeah.
Like, super fast.
And I mean, when he told me to go get a job, it was go to the local supermarket and bag groceries.
Yeah.
It wasn't go out and, you know, and sell stuff on the corner.
Yeah, nah. For me, it was a little more different. Like, I had to, like living with my grandma. My grandma had 6-7 other grandkids in the house where she's on a Social Security check. She don't have much, you know what I mean? So me coming there, too, it was just like, you got to fend for yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you can't go to school looking bad.
She's not getting Social Security for you because you're just there.
Yeah, I'm just there. You know what I'm saying? Wandering. So it's like, and then I'm out in the street doing a little, you know what I mean? Unnecessary stuff. So she like, get out.
Just sitting here talking, from what you put in your book and what you're going to tell me now, there's got to be like a million more things, too, to go with it. But
oh, man, it's crazy, bro. Crazy.
But then you get to high school.
Yeah, I get to high school.
And Sullivan High School, right?
Yeah, I went to Sullivan. My freshman year, I didn't play, though. I didn't play basketball my freshman year.
You didn't even try out? You didn't play?
No, I didn't play.
Okay.
I was supposed to be transferring to, like, this other school, but then I didn't. So I'm like, I didn't play.
So it wasn't like you were on a team and you just sat the whole year. So you started playing your sophomore year.
Yeah, I started playing my sophomore year
at Sullivan.
At Sullivan.
Okay.
Yeah, I was playing. I did pretty well.
That's your first real organized way.
I mean,
of playing
but growing
basketball.
Growing up, it was always little park leagues that I was playing in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like a school team.
Right.
I played for my grammar school team, but that was just like my first experience playing sophomore year in high school.
Okay. And what was that like? I mean, are you seeing this as possibly your way out?
Yeah, I was looking at it like that, but I had other factors going on. Like, my home situation was unstable. You know, I didn't have a lot of money, so I'm thinking about how I'm finna eat. You know what I mean? How I'm finna, you know, going to high school. You know, kids cruel, man. You can't come looking bad. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I got to hustle for my shoes. You know what I mean? I gotta have the right gear on. You know, when you're going to school, you got to be fresh.
You get beat up if you show up with the wrong stuff on.
Yeah.
They talk about bullying now, and I'm ain't nothing like it used to be back in the day. But even as you're there, you continue to sell drugs, and you got arrested right before your senior year for it.
Yeah, so that was my like.
Wait, first of all, what kind of student were you?
I never really applied myself though because my head was somewhere else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, were you studying? Were you like doing homework, or were you just going from school, going out, and doing your thing?
Yeah, I was going to school. Whatever I did in school, I did in school. I was going home. I wasn't doing no homework.
You're obligated to go, and you just did your time.
Yeah, and I was out. Like I wasn't really. I never concentrated on it too much. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because my head was thinking about other shit, like you know what I mean.
I didn't have as much going on as you in my life, but I didn't concentrate on it too much either.
Yeah, but it was crazy. So, I mean, but high school, I didn't want I don't want to try to make it seem like I was this big time dude selling drugs. I was just penny pitching, like trying to get by, like you know what I'm saying.
Just enough to get by.
Yeah. Like I wasn't trying to get rich.
Get those shoes. Get those tennis shoes on.
Yeah, I'm hustling for petty stuff, man. Shoes and clothes.
Right. Yeah. And were you recruited at all through your sophomore, junior year by a college? You hear anything from colleges? Or?
Like, my sophomore year, I turned up. I did pretty well. I was averaging, like, maybe 24, 25. Mm-hmm. But, again, like, I wasn't doing no individual workout. This was just all, like, natural talent. Right. You know what I'm saying? My junior year, that's when I really did well. I went to varsity, was balling out. Then my name was starting to make a little noise in the city. You know what I'm saying? And, beginning of my senior year, I had got in trouble that summer.
How'd you get arrested?
So let me explain this situation, right? So this is in the summertime.
Right.
And
you're not going to tell me you're innocent.
I'm guilty. I ain't going to lie. Good.
You know how those guys go, man, I didn't do anything.
No, I was guilty as shit. So it's like 1:30 in the morning, you know, me and my boy, we go out on the block where we from, went on and went though. So we go over there, and I had just copped some stuff, you know, I had like 40 bags, and my boy was just going to be looking out for me. So as soon as I get out there, I make a sale, and while I'm making a sale, I tell my boy to go to the corner. But as soon as he goes into the corner, the detectives is turning the corner.
Oh, okay.
You know, so
the other corner.
Yeah. As soon as he gets, so I give the dude his stuff, and then as soon as he gets to the corner, I see them turning the corner. So I'm like, oh shit. So I kind of walk off, speed walk this way. The dude speed walk the other way, and I kind of like panic because I hear the car coming. You know, and as soon as I hear the car coming, three of them bailed out, and they grabbed me, threw me up against the gate. You know, threw me up against the gate.
And your boy got free.
No, my boy, he didn't have nothing. Yeah, he just was looking. Right. He was just looking out for me. But by the time he got to the corner, he couldn't even tell me.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
saying? So they search me. They look in the area. They don't find nothing on me, but 10 feet away, they find my stuff.
Your bag.
Yeah, so they.
So you had to go to.
I was 17 then.
Was it
Cook County.
Cook County boot camp. You're not in jail.
No, that was Cook County jail, actually.
It was Cook County jail.
Yeah, so let me tell you how that went. I went to Cook County jail. I did like a month in there, and I got like, I went home for house arrest.
Okay.
The ankle bracelet. Yeah, they gave me house arrest. So when I get house arrest, you know, I'm going to school. So they put you in this program. It's called a data reporting center.
Okay.
It's like a place where you go to jail every day.
Right.
You report there. And
you check in, basically.
Yeah, you check in. And if you're on drugs or you're doing anything, you stay there. You go through classes, stuff like that. So I was in school, though. So I just had to go there.
At Sullivan still.
Yeah, okay. I'm still at Sullivan. So I had to just go there, check in with the guy who I'm checking in with, and then show him that I'm still in school.
But were you hooping, too? Were you playing?
Yeah, I was playing.
Oh, you were playing your senior year then?
Yeah, this was before it started. This was before the school year.
Oh, this was still summertime.
Before the season started.
Right.
Just like right when school started.
Right.
So you go in, you take a drop, make sure you clean, you know, and then you sign a paper, then you leave out. You only got to report once a week. But the guy I had to report to, he was like a super asshole. Like, unbelievable. Strange. But if he got control of my life, though. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So if I do anything wrong, I'm going back to the county, going in front of the judge. And when my case is dismissed, that's when I'll be able to, you know, go home. So one day, I had an A-period class. Let me tell you how I went to jail. I had an A-period class. I had to be at the data reporting center at like 4:30. And my class I got out of school at 3:15, but I'm on public transportation. It take like an hour and a half to get there.
Okay.
You know, so after I take my test, I sprint to the train. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get there before he leave, you know, because I called him and like, man, I may be a little bit late. You know, I had a test in eighth period. He's like, I don't give a fuck. You better be your ass here. I'm locking you up. This is what he tell me. So I'm like, damn, man. So I try to get there. I get there. He gone. I'm like, fuck.
So you, how late were you?
I was like 20 minutes late.
Oh, man.
It's like 4:50, bro. So I get there. I'm like, damn. So now I'm thinking like he told the people in there to keep me.
Right.
So now I'm like, man, let me just get up out of here. I get out. I leave.
Oh, no.
I get out. I leave. But they call my house Monday morning. Ask me what school I go to, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, for sure. I'm like, it was just like a random call.
Right.
My grandma woke me up. I was half asleep. I'm like, yeah, I go to Sullivan. So I hang up. So I go to school that day. It's like second period. I was in a bathroom, bro. And I had like the bubble guts.
Right, right, right.
So I'm in a toilet and I look out. I see these three dudes with like vests, black vests on. I'm like, who's these dudes? Well, like, why they up in the school? So I don't come out. The bell ring. They leave out. So I'm like, I'm finna go to my next class. As soon as I go up the steps, they coming down the steps, and it's like two dudes coming behind me. So they were my disciplinarian officer of the school.
Right.
He like, here's Mr. Dixon right here. In front of the whole school, they locked me up. That's how I went to jail.
And how long were you locked up there for?
I was locked up for 8 months.
8 months.
8 months.
So you missed a season then, obviously.
Yeah,
you missed
your
senior year.
So, I mean, I was locked up for 8 months. And
damn, 8 months.
Yeah, because as soon as I went back in front of the judge, I just copped out. Like, I pled guilty because
right.
I didn't just want to sit in there and fight the case because I didn't have no lawyer. I had a public defender.
Right, right, right.
So I just copped out. They gave me the boot camp. I had to sit in the county for, like, three more months. And then, because you got to wait to go to the boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
Then the boot camp is 4 months.
You had a waiting list to go into the boot camp.
Yeah. So I had to, then I had to do 4 months in the boot camp. Yeah.
And I'm not going to ask you what that's like in there because, I mean.
But this was different. The boot camp is not like prison.
Right.
It's like military jail.
Yeah.
But they teaching you like military and disciplinary and stuff.
Right. It's but they're teaching lessons. Basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you mess up in there, they'll send your ass to jail.
Right.
You're going to the prison.
But. It's not a bad thing for you either.
No, it wasn't bad. Like, that taught me a lot. Like, that,
because
I was kind of wild, man. Like, I was a little wild hothead. And that gave me a lot of discipline.
You can still see that in you today a little bit.
Yeah, I was kind of wild, man. I needed that. That was like, I think that would kind of save my life, though.
But that's what, when I read about it, that's what I thought. I thought,
for sure.
You know, I'm not comparing the same thing, but, you know, a lot of parents talk about when they send their kids to Bobby Knight to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some kids needed Bobby Knight in their life.
Yeah,
he might
sure.
not be politically correct
for
or whatever,
sure,
but some people
sure.
need that.
Yeah.
But you got your GED when you're in there.
Yeah.
Which was huge for you because...
Oh, that was crazy big.
Because we'll get into the college part about it, but if you don't get that GED in there, you ain't going anywhere.
So...
anybody who doesn't know, a GED is the equivalent of a high school diploma
right.
in the United States. It's an opportunity for people to study outside of high school.
Right.
And it's called, I can't remember what GED stands for.
General Education Degree or something.
Something like that. Yeah,
something like that.
I can't remember exactly what the GED stands for, but we just know it as GED in the States. And it's another way of getting a high school diploma so that you can move on in life and get jobs and whatever.
Exactly. So I got my GED in there. Which was, I told myself when I went in there, like, dude, you got to get your GED while you're in here. Because if you leave out of here without your GED, you was in here for nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And you're not going to go back to school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I leave out with my GED. That's a plus. I was supposed to graduate it in June, but I get my GED in, like, March.
Right.
So it's kind of like.
Oh, so you even got it before. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's kind of like I won a little bit.
Right.
But when you lead a boot camp, they give you jobs.
That was going to be my question coming up. That was going to be my question coming up. If you got it through the sentence and the boot camp, because you end up working at a UPS.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, I mean, without the GED, you don't get that job, I'm assuming.
No.
The
boot camp, they place you. They do job placement.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like for inmates who's like actually trying and want to change their life, they try to get guys jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And But this job, we'll get to the trip you had to take every day.
Oh my God!
Job, but you know, as you're inside serving this sentence, I'm trying to think of what could possibly be going through your head at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because one person would be, all right, when I get out of here, I'm not going to be dumb enough to get busted again.
Right.
And the other person would be, I'm going to get my GED and I'm going to see if I could do something with myself.
Right.
Where were you? Were you in, like, in the middle? Did you not know which way you were going?
No, like, my thing was, I was kind of like disappointed that I put myself in that position.
So you're upset with yourself then?
Crazy upset with myself. Like, I contemplated suicide a little bit.
Really?
That I was that mad at myself. Like, how you let yourself get in this situation?
But you, that's my question, because you know what I'm going to ask you. You upset because you got caught?
No.
Or you upset because you did it? You know what I'm saying?
I was upset that I'm in jail.
Right.
And I'm looking like a failure. Like, dude, what are you doing with your life? You know what I mean?
So there's a little bit of self-pride.
Yeah, it was like a self-pride thing, and it was a reality check. And I'm like, I've always been like realistic with myself too, though. Like,
right.
I know when I'm doing bullshit, and I know when, you know what I mean? So that's just how I am with myself. But when I was in there, I just told myself, like, I'm never putting myself in this situation again.
Right.
Ever.
So it's good. So, I mean, all together, the getting the GED, realization of you don't want to go through that again. But, I mean, does it occur to you at one point or another, this is just kind of like the hand I was dealt? I mean, not, you know? My big thing, I speak a lot to kids and whatever, you know, my speech is always dependent on who my public is, but I always speak about negative thoughts, man. Negative thoughts are so easy to follow in your life because it's the easy way out.
Exactly.
You know, the positive thought is like, for me to be positive, it's like, man, I got to do a lot of work to get that thought.
Extremely,
you know?
Hard.
Yes. I mean, what were your thought process? Because I'm thinking, my first thought is, man, this is just a hand I'm dealt. How am I going to deal with it?
Right. But see, like, I was thinking, like, yeah, everything in my life was messed up. You know, the situation wasn't perfect.
That's the negative thought process.
I still had the decision, though. I still made that decision to do what I was doing.
Was it a decision that you wanted to break that chain in the family? You wanted maybe that cycle, or you wanted to, like, develop a different legacy for your family?
Yeah, no, like okay, me growing up, I see everybody doing this shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, eh, okay. This is what everybody just do.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't want to do this, though. I want to hoop. I want to do this. I want to do that. But it's like, bro, you don't got nowhere to live. Like, you ain't got nothing to eat. You can't even get on a bus. Like, what you finna do?
Did you put 1,000 kids in that same room in your same position, and not one of them is thinking the way you're thinking?
No.
They may think the way you're thinking.
Yeah, but it's too far off.
Yeah. It's so... For, like, I grew up in the inner city in upstate New York. It's nothing to do with Chicago, nothing compared. But for the kids in the inner city that didn't have that family atmosphere, it's not even visible.
Yeah,
it's not even a thought of, like, you know, I can do this one day. You know, everybody said, you know, someday you grow up be a president. Like, no, yeah. I can't.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Like, yeah, like, it just was so tough, man. But I just told myself, like, that's not going to be me, man.
So you had no thought about going back on the streets?
Hell no.
Was that
no.
The last time you sold drugs?
Last time.
After you got busted?
Last time. Never did it again.
See, so the system does work sometimes.
If you want it to work.
Of course.
I mean, if you want to change.
That's like going to see a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
I can go see a psychiatrist, but if I don't want to listen to him, you know what I mean? It's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
So we talked about the UPS job.
Mm-hmm. So
3 hours?
So look.
First of all, let's get it right. You work the 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. shift.
Yeah.
You just came out of boot camp. You weren't getting the good hours.
No.
There's no doubt about that.
So I get out of boot camp, but I'm kind of like excited, though. Like, I got my GED and I got a job.
And you got a job.
So I'm kind of like excited and feeling like optimistic. Like, my life is kind of like can change a little bit. But then, you know, that shift, bro, you know, I'm living on Howard Street. This is like deep north.
Right.
And I had to take the train from Howard Street to 95th Street, deep south. And that's 2 hours on the train.
Just on the train.
Yeah. Then I had to take a bus, a Pace bus, 45 minutes to get to the Hotchkins UPS facility. And that's like 45, 50 minutes on a bus.
So you have to leave at like 12 midnight.
Yeah.
To get to work by 4.
Yeah.
You get out at 10.
Yeah.
And then you get back home at 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Sleep.
And then you go back.
And do the same thing.
How much were you getting paid? You remember?
I was getting like, bro, every week my check was like maybe $240 every week. But my grandma wanted half of that.
Right.
I had to give her half of that.
Right.
So And then the rest I had to get a bus pass with, and I'm back at square one.
I got a lot of stuff written down here, but I'm going off of what you're telling me to. Let's just say, and this is the vicious cycle that people that are brought up in the situation that you're brought up into have to get through. You're making, you said, $240 a week.
Yeah.
You had to give half of that to your grandma, so forth and so on, get your bus pass, everything else. Basically, you're making zero. You're just surviving.
Just surviving.
How much you making in a week in the street selling drugs?
If I was in it like that?
Yeah.
I can make anywhere from like $2,000 to $6,000.
A week. I mean,
full time.
I mean, that's incentive. If we talk about incentive, it's just incentive enough not to go get a job.
Yeah, for sure. But see, I can't deal with them consequences, man.
Right, of course. But you were one of the few that realized that.
Yeah.
Because most people would be like, they look at that $240 check in a week after all that you've been through. Because this isn't a 6-hour job anymore. This is 6 plus 6? That's 12-hour job going back and forth.
Yeah.
Or 13-hour jobs. So,
exactly.
And you're getting $240 when I can make.
Yeah.
And
that's how bad I didn't want to go to jail.
Right.
That's how bad I didn't want to go back to jail.
I don't even know if Fenerbahce pays you that much.
No, exactly.
All right, let's get onto some good stuff, man. I'm going to give you a name before we start to talk about him. And I want you to just describe it with him with one word if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Brian McKinney.
Oh, man. Brian McKinney.
One word.
It's like father figure.
Father figure. That's two words, but I give it to you.
Yeah.
I do. You deserve it. How'd y'all meet?
So when I got out of boot camp, you know, I used to go to the Boys and Girls Club when I had time. And he worked at the Boys and Girls Club. You know, I just go up there, hoop a little bit, you know, play with the guys. And he was kind of like, he just like seen that I had a little talent.
Right.
And he was like, You can play a little bit, but you don't work out. Like
You were 16, 17?
No, I was like 17.
17, okay.
18.
Okay.
And he was like, you can play a little bit, but you don't work out. And I'm like, what are you talking about working out?
Working out.
I'm up in here hooping. What do you mean?
Practice?
Yeah.
Practice?
You know what I'm saying? He was like, but you don't do nothing after this, though. You know what I mean? So I'm like, what you talking about, bro? So
describe him to me.
He's like 5'10", a little chubby with, you know what I mean, light-skinned guy. Super.
The little chubby I had down, man. I was thinking about something. The little chubby I had down.
Kind of aggressive, but super smooth, old school, though. You know.
How old was he?
Then he just had a birthday a couple days ago. So I think I think he's like 50. I don't know how old he was.
Oh, so he was young back then. Okay.
He probably was about 30, 37, 38, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, again, I go back to the speeches that I do. I talk about the fact that teachers, coaches, mentors, all these people can be, they could either make you mm-hmm. or they can break you.
For sure.
They have the ability to steer where your life goes at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, obviously we know the end result as I'm sitting here talking to you, because if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking, you wouldn't be sitting here talking to me. But how do you, a kid off the streets, everything that's gone wrong for you, how do you put your trust in somebody?
See, that's the thing. Like, with him, I didn't trust him. I ain't trust nobody.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I was brought up not to trust anybody.
Yeah,
like, I can't imagine the way
you so know. I was kind of like, dude, like, I'm a, like, kind of rebel, quick tempered. You know what I mean? Like, dude, who are you talking to? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like that. But over time, he showed me that he cared.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's something you probably didn't.
And I never had that.
You didn't feel that before.
I mean, I had a lot of different coaches, a lot of people who care, but I seen the time that he was putting into me, and right. he showed me how much he cared, and he showed me how much he wanted me to succeed.
So it wasn't immediate friendship, but how long did it take?
It took a while. It took a while for him to break down those walls with me because, I didn't know what that
who
was
broke
like.
That? He broke down your walls or you broke down his wall?
Which one was? He kind of broke down mine because, I ain't had shit to lose then. You know what I mean? So he was like, man, I'm going to work you out. I'm going to try to get you in school, junior college. I'm like, I'm finished. He was like, I told him, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do.
Right.
So we on the beach every day, killing me, like crazy workouts. He experiment workouts on me.
Right.
And I'm just like, fuck it, I ain't got nothing else to do.
Was he a trainer? Well, I mean.
No, he wasn't even a trainer. He just was the director, the boys, he just was trying anything on me, like run back and forth, like put this weight vest on.
He didn't even know
on.
What he was doing.
He didn't. I don't even think he know what he was doing. He just was training me, but I'm just getting better and better at the same time.
Like we say back in the States, he's making you drink the Kool-Aid, though.
Exactly, exactly. So I'm like, I ain't got nothing else to do. I ain't finna go on a block, so might as well.
We'll talk about this later, too, but throughout all the research, a lot of words that came up that I've seen was will and determination. That's mm-hmm. that's been one of your I don't know if you want to call it a motto, but it's been whatever. Where does it come from? Because, you know, I think back to myself, like I had chances to get in trouble here and there, and you know, I had parents that I was afraid of. Uh-huh. You know, I had a dad that, man, if I would have come home and I smoked something right. and he would have smelled it, he would have beat me up.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? So I had that.
Right.
I don't know if that was the reason it uh-huh. saved me or not. I'm assuming that it was, but what was it for you? I mean, that pushed you towards this guy, and then you, all of a sudden, man, I'm telling you, could be on the streets making $2,000-$3,000 a week. I'm not going to sit there running a beach and you know right. with some vest on and, right. and believe in some guy that doesn't even know me.
Right. I mean, I was just, bro, like, I just didn't want to go back to jail, man. And
that's your number one thing. You said it already like
yeah,
10 times.
Yeah, and I don't know why this was in my head, that basketball always was in my head, bro, going to school.
Right.
That never wavered from my head, even when I was in jail. Like, dude, you can still go to school, do this, you probably, you know, you try to walk on somewhere, you know what I mean?
And your older brothers, what are they doing at this time?
They still in the street.
Still in the streets. You in contact with brothers. Them?
Yeah, I'm in contact with them a little bit. Like, I used to live with my oldest brother, but he a street dude. Like, he always in the street, never had a regular job. Neither one of my older brothers.
Were they supportive of the direction you were trying to go in?
I mean, then... Yeah, they was trying, but, you know, at the end, they wasn't, like, trying to push me that way. But it's like, whatever you do,
But they weren't trying to pull you out either.
No.
They just kind of let you go and do
your thing. Like, do your own thing. Figure it out yourself.
So a kid, you know, goes to jail, goes to boot camp, and you end up in I don't know if I'm... Kankakee.
Yeah.
Or I just call it KCC, Community College.
Yeah, so...
How the hell do you end up in a college?
Let me tell you how this go. So Brian, he calling all these different junior colleges. We working out all summer, you know what I mean? He just calling everybody. Everybody, no. So he called Kankakee. They like, I got a kid. He's pretty good. Check him out. You know, so he like, come down here for a workout. So I go down there on a Saturday. School mm-hmm. starts on a Monday.
Okay.
So I go down there. I work out with they guys. They got all their scholarships filled. But I work out with them. I don't think I did that well. You know what I mean? But I guess I did okay. So we go in the office, they offer me a partial scholarship. So I'm like...
Just like that?
Yeah. They had like a partial scholarship. I think they had like one more spot left. You know what I mean? They had 11 players.
You didn't tell them you didn't do that well, did you?
No, I didn't tell them that. Me personally, being honest with myself.
Right.
And him too.
You're like, man, don't offer me a scholarship. I didn't even play that well.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, shit, I'm taking it. You know, it's like 40, 50 minutes outside of Chicago. So I'm taking it.
Right.
And I had to go back home, pack all my stuff that Sunday, and be back down there before school.
Oh, yeah, that's
Monday.
Right. You had to start on Monday.
Yeah.
What was the coach's name?
David Holstein.
And he didn't play right off the bat.
Nah, I ain't play because, you know, they had their all team the first couple games.
Right, but this is an opportunity for you. So I'm knowing you the way I know you now, and I don't know you that great, but I've seen you play, and I've talked to you now and then, plus this conversation. I know you weren't sitting on that bench happy.
No, I wasn't happy. You know, I wasn't happy. But like,
give me my opportunity. I'm glad I'm here. But
I wasn't tripping though. I'm glad I'm here. Right. I'm here to work hard.
Shut,
I ain't finna cause no trouble.
Exactly.
But when you give me that opportunity,
watch out.
Oh.
27.
Immediately.
Immediately. I like that.
Immediately.
I like that.
Thirsty.
That's gonna be my new word right there. 27 the first time off the bench.
Yeah.
18 the next day.
Yeah.
And this guy from that point, he wasn't dumb. He's like, all right, this guy's starting every game from now on.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, that's why I say, man, like opportunity is everything.
I talk about that a lot. I talk about not only opportunities, but you have to acknowledge, you have to be aware of that opportunity,
exactly.
Recognize it.
Yeah.
Before you could actually take advantage of that opportunity,
yeah,
you got to be like, you know, in your position, it was an obvious opportunity because
uh-huh.
you probably never thought you were going to community college or anywhere. So this is a huge opportunity for you. You know, normally in life, it's like damn, I missed that opportunity. I didn't even realize it was an opportunity until it was too late, but you jumped on it right off the bat. And
off the bat, I was hungry.
And then you get to a D1 school.
Yeah.
But what's going through your mind, man?
So
are you even believing what's going on? Are you? I mean, you're conscious of it.
After my first year at Kankakee, I started to believe.
You start believing you can go.
Oh yeah, I started to believe because I had a lot of success, and I don't even supposed to be here. And you know, I ain't thinking about no failure. Like, right. I ain't got nothing to lose. So I'm just going hard every game. Like, whatever opportunity I get, I'm trying to make the most of it.
Right.
And by sophomore year, you know, I had some big schools. I had South Carolina, Georgia.
The Gamecocks.
Yeah, but I kind of wanted to go to Loyola. It's like Loyola right. University. I signed there first.
Loyola, Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's like
be close to
two
home.
Blocks away from my high school.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, damn, they want me. I'm going. You know what I mean? But then the coach got fired.
The guy, Farmer,
he got fired. So
how many times does that happen to an athlete? Get recruited for a year or two by somebody else and you go ahead. Thank God you didn't get there then, you know.
Exactly. So he got fired. Then I was back on the open market. Troy came in. I went to take a visit. Told me everything I wanted to hear. And I'm like,
What made you go there?
It was a mid-major school and I got 2 years eligibility.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So if I go to one of these big schools, I'm thinking to myself, like,
I want to play
immediately. Yeah.
I don't have time to break into them lineup.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And then it was going to be my team. So I'm like, I'm in there.
I'm sitting here writing these things down. I'm like, even if the story ends right now, it'd be an incredible story.
Yeah.
But obviously it didn't. Yeah. Your mom at this point is straight?
Yeah, my mom's straight. Like, my mom been clean for about 20 years now.
So does that help you? That helped a lot, right?
Yeah.
Was she giving you some of the caring and love now that she's straight?
I mean, my mom, she had a difficult life too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? My mom, she was kind of like, didn't know how to love. You know what I mean? So she was struggling with that part of herself. She's clean, you know, she got a little working job. You know, she's trying to better herself. And I'm supporting her. I'm helping her. You know what I mean?
That's awesome, man. That's great news.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't happen very often either.
Exactly. But I kind of like motivated my mom to stay clean. And
see, and that's what I was talking about before about, you know, creating a new legacy.
Yeah.
You know, changing that cycle, that vicious cycle, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I asked about your brothers too afterwards. Like, you know, did they get motivated by it? But, you know, you can only change one life at a time,
exactly.
Man. You can't do everything.
Yeah.
So coming from where you're coming from, man, and you're in a D1 school, you average 16.7 points a game, and you get a damn degree too.
Yeah.
Is that your second degree? Because you got one out of the community college.
Yeah.
You got more degrees than me, man.
Nah, man, like once I got to Kankakee, I locked in on school. That's when I figured out that I wasn't dumb. Like, I'm actually kind of smart. Because I actually had time.
Y'all hear that, right?
You know what I'm saying? I actually had time to, you know what I mean, focus in on it.
And what's Brian McKinney doing there? Is he still there with you every step of the way?
He's still around. He's still mentoring me. He's still telling me everything I'm supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? He on me all the time. And just telling me, like, dude, you didn't play good this game. Like, you could be doing better. You should be picking up. You should be doing it. I'm like, shut up, dude. You know what I mean? But I'm listening to him, though, at the same time. Right. You know, he's just always that, you didn't do nothing. Like, I had 25. You ain't do nothing.
You didn't do that.
You lost. 25
doesn't mean nothing. Yeah. So one question I always ask the American guys, the American guys that didn't have a clear future after college, a clear future in basketball, I should preface. That last game, that last game.
Terrifying.
Isn't it?
Terrifying.
It's the worst, man. Did you cry?
I didn't cry, but I broke down, man. I'm like, oh, shit, what am I going to do now?
I had no idea where I was going.
Like, NBA is a long shot, 5 foot nothing.
You had never been to Europe, I'm assuming.
I'm nice, yeah.
Did you even know about?
I heard about it, I heard about it, but it's still the unknown. You know what I mean? You still kind of like.
I'm gonna admit to you first, so that you know you won't be afraid to admit it to me. If it's true, when I came to Spain, I didn't know where the hell I was, man. My first time, they flew me over. Well, first time they flew me to Italy, I knew where I was because my mom was Italian.
Right.
And I knew the boot on the map, you know,
right.
that thing.
Right.
Because we're Americans. We don't care about, you None know, no geography. Right?
Yeah.
Did you know where you were going?
When no.
You had no idea, right?
Terrified. Scared. Anxious. Everything. Every emotion I had.
It's
super scary.
It's such a crazy. Your first job was in France.
France.
Like I'm saying, like if I was flying to France at your age back then, I had no idea where France was, man.
Right.
And I'm not afraid to admit it now. I wouldn't have admitted it 20 years ago.
Right.
But now, it's, I live out here. I love it out here. It's a beautiful life. But I've been, like I said, 20 years, and I've seen people come and go.
Yeah.
I've seen NBA players. I've seen established players. I've seen people coming from rich families. I've seen people coming from poor families.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real formula for success here because there's so many things thrown at you from different angles.
You gotta be built a certain type of way, man.
Yeah, and it's weird because no matter how good of a player you are, it doesn't mean you're gonna be successful out here.
Facts.
Because you got language, food, culture, the houses that you live in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, when I see players like you that stick for so long, I just think it's just a great story anyways because of the difficult nature of coming out here and doing it. Mm-hmm. From where you came from, how the hell did you do it? I mean, because, you know, I still came from
from
a good family, a decent house, inner city, but we had our own house.
Yeah.
You know, I stayed with my parents the whole time. I didn't have to stay with them.
Right.
How do you go to France and just by yourself?
And then, so it's like this, bro. Right. If I go home, what am I going home to? You see what I'm saying? That was my thought process. You know what I mean? So I go to France. I'm terrified. I'm scared. Like, damn, where am I at? Like, I don't understand the language. They give me a stick car. I can't drive a stick. I got to learn to drive a stick.
How many stories have you heard about that with Americans?
Crazy,
in Europe,
man.
Ruining cars.
Crazy. So I'm like, the first 2 weeks, I ain't going to lie. I'm like, man, I don't know if I could do this. I think I'm finna go home.
Right.
I call home, talk to one of my boys. Dude, what are you coming home for? Ain't nothing here.
Right.
Stop being up.
Yeah.
And stick it out. I'm like, you're right. So stuck it out.
But I mean, I wrote this down earlier and I didn't say it, but even in jail, sometimes for people from that you've been brought is better off than where y'all live. You know what I mean? Like being in jail for, like I knew some people that would want to go to jail.
Yeah, that's like, it's consistent.
Right, you got food every day.
Yeah,
you know,
consistent. It's housing, everything. Like,
but now
yeah.
France obviously isn't jail.
Yeah,
but it's
kind of like jail.
Right.
You don't know nobody there.
Exactly.
You by yourself.
And you know, and for the French people that are listening, we all love you, but y'all don't speak great English either.
Exactly,
and,
so you kind of like, you know.
So you,
Twilight Zone.
Yeah, so you're sitting there going, man, jumped on that plane. Uh-huh. That's another one of my favorite questions.
But then I had just had a daughter. So I had a daughter
before
I graduated school. Yeah, my daughter was born in February. So I had like a motivational factor. So I
got okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, I got to grind.
You got no other choice.
Yeah, I got to take care of my daughter.
And she's how old now? Man?
She's 13 now.
She's 13 now.
She'll be 14.
You got some great names for your daughter. Heaven and Angel.
Yeah.
Why, though? Is it a religious thing? Or
not too much religious. It's just like those the two people that is just unconditional love that I got for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's like I made them. They my responsibility. So.
You played, when you came out here, you played 6 seasons. And 8 different teams.
6 seasons and 8 different teams.
Pretty much 8 different teams.
Yeah.
That's not a good track record.
No.
That's one of the things that the first time a GM would look at, like.
Why he's on so many different
teams. Yeah, why he's on so many teams. Why is he bouncing from here and there?
It's
got to be something wrong.
Yeah.
The first thought is a negative thought again, like we talked about before.
Uh-huh.
How'd you overcome that? Because that's not an easy thing to. I mean, I know exactly how you went to 8 different teams. I saw it. I read it.
Uh-huh.
But still, someone that doesn't know you well enough.
I mean, you know, like being as an American, you kind of like, you trying to get the best check you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you like looking for the best opportunities for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not that I was never in no trouble with no teams I was with.
Right.
But I mean,
it just, you didn't need to move.
Yeah, I mean,
it
just was happening like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is all about the money, mm-hmm. and when you come over, especially in your situation,
yeah.
from what you've been through, but you're also playing a sport that
I love,
that you love, but it's your. I probably have this question later, but I want to ask it now. If it wasn't for basketball, what would it have been?
For me?
Yeah.
Man.
Because you still had the desire not to go back, but was it basketball that drove you, or was it just not going back, or was it like a 50-50?
No, like basketball. Basketball drove me, and that too, though, but so I put everything I had into basketball.
Right.
So it was like, you can't fail. This gotta work.
Yeah, but you still do when you get on the court.
Yeah.
You still do. I mean,
yeah, because I still think like I ain't got nothing. Sometimes that's just how I am.
Sometimes you play 30 minutes a game. Sometimes you play six, but you give it.
I got to give it everything.
And that's inbred. That's something.
That's just how I am. That's just who I am.
It's crazy, man, with the whole story and everything. But you play good. Your numbers are good.
Yeah.
Everywhere you went, your numbers were good.
Yeah, I try to stay productive, man.
And then you get what brings you to Turkey? You're gonna help me say that name, right? I got it written.
Karseka.
Right. Karseka, okay. Or
yeah.
I always call it Pinar. That was easier for me back in the day when I was coming.
I mean, my agent, you know, Mishko, he came to me with that deal. I was kind of like, because when I was in Italy, I played for Benetton. We had came here and played Turk Telecom, and I seen Turkey for the first time. I'm like, I don't really like that country. Because I went to Ankara, you know? And
oh,
it was
this
big old hole on the side of the expressway, and it was like we was like driving alongside that, and I was like, if this bus go 3 inches to the right, we falling in that hole. So that kind of like terrified me of Turkey seen that. Then I got to Izmir, I'm like, this place is not all right. It's nice, like sunny.
I've never been. It's nice.
Yeah, it's cool, right by the water. It was cool.
So, I mean, you got comfortable. You spent 3 years. When you went there, was it a 1 year deal or was it?
It was a 1 year deal.
But
yeah.
You end up spending 3 years, or 2012 to 2015.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's home now for you. That's the most time you spent
with
in
one
place.
Yeah.
Not just one team, but I don't know if you were in the same house or not, but, you know, in the same city, I'm assuming. Well, I mean, Chicago, you spent your whole time, but you were one house to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the most stable that you've been as a young adult.
Yeah.
Were you sitting back on, I made it?
No, not like that. Like, the first year, we had a good year.
Right.
It's a pretty good year, man. Like, we almost won Euro Challenge.
Right.
You know, we should have won, we lost, but we had a great season in the league. And then I liked the coach, and I liked who I was playing with. And me and him created a relationship, and he was like, you want to come? I came back.
And it was 3 years there.
Mm-hmm.
You had breakout year in 2014-15. You did everything there. You knocked down all the Giants. You slayed all the Giants. You beat Efes in the Turkish Cup, I think.
Yeah.
And you beat Fenerbahce in the, what's it called?
President's Cup. Yeah.
And you brought the team into the EuroLeague.
Right.
But you left.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it wasn't nothing personal. I mean, like, I figured I did everything possibly could there.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I did everything I could.
I'm just asking.
I left him in a good situation.
There you go. There
you know what
there
I mean?
There you go. That's a positive outlook.
Yeah, I left him in a better situation than I found it. So.
Because when you look at it from the outside looking in, you say, man, he made it. He's there. Man, he's just stick with it. You know, don't try to push it. But it's Fenerbahce.
Of course, it's Fenerbahce.
They were in the Final
team.
Four the year before that. That was the year they lost to Madrid, I think, in Madrid, right?
Yeah.
And so you're thinking, this is it. I might as well go. Hey, I've gone this far. I might as well keep going.
I mean, I'm thinking, like, they in the Final Four. They in EuroLeague every year. So, and look at the coach who's coaching them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm out. Right. I got to go.
Come on, man. Be honest with me. I know Selko doesn't listen to this damn thing. I don't even think he listened to his own interview.
No, I mean, even if he don't listen to it, like, why, that's just how I felt.
Why would you go to him? He came to me.
Right.
Why would you go to him?
I mean,
he's crazy sometimes.
Okay, like, yeah, but.
He's my boy, man. I love him to death. But
a winner is a winner, bro.
You got that right. You got that right.
And I want to win.
Yeah.
So, hey, you got
it. You can't beat him,
and
join
then,
him, right?
Okay, I love craziness. I grew up in craziziness.
Right.
So it's like,
but again,
how crazy could he be?
It goes back to the fact that you know, you were a kid that came from where you came from. You needed some discipline in your life. Yeah. There's nothing. And you know, I've always said this about Zelko. Zelko can yell at you, he can scream at you, but he's not a bad person. He's an incredible, he's an incredible person.
Exactly.
And I've had coaches that yell at you, scream at you,
and are terrible people.
And they're terrible people on top of it. And that's not where, you know, and that's something that Zelko is way beyond in this world. And I mean, it's been crazy to have developed the relationship, because I hated him when I played for him, just like everybody else. You know, you're like, come on, man, leave me alone. But but now I love him.
Yeah.
So your first year, y'all get to the Final Four.
Yeah.
The team takes revenge out of Madrid. It wasn't so much revenge for you, but I'm sure after losing the Final Four, that team was, they're like, boom, you get him in the playoffs and you sweep them 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, just crush them.
We was clicking.
And you go.
And I think Jan wasn't even playing. I think Jan was out.
I don't think he was. No, he was hurt. He was hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, he was hurt.
I think he might have played the last game if I'm not sure.
Yeah. In Madrid?
Yeah.
No,
because you guys played two in Fenerbahce and one. No, he didn't play here.
Yeah, he didn't play.
And then you get in the Final Four, game one, Baskonia.
Mm-hmm.
You get run, man, 29 minutes. 1-for-6 from three.
Yeah.
4 turnovers.
Played terrible.
First time in the Final Four, man. Bad game. Were you nervous? Or just a bad game?
I don't even really think I was nervous. I think I maybe was too anxious or too, like, wanting to do too much.
Didn't let that game come to you, like they say.
Yeah.
I've always laughed at that comment, but it does have truth to it.
Yeah. That's probably what it was.
And you made up for it 2 nights later.
Yeah.
In the final game against Cheska, but down 20. Yeah. In the first half, they outscored y'all. I got here 28-10 in the second quarter.
Pounded
on the offensive boards. I remember that was one of the best games I've ever got to commentate. I want to thank you for that, by the way, because I felt like, you know, Gus Johnson is right, the announcer in the States.
I think I heard that.
Yeah, he's a crazy one. Gets up and starts. Man, you had me jumping off my chair, man. And the guy I'm doing the game with is like, you know, Mr. Yearly. He's like, sit down, man. You can't. I'm like, no, man. This is great. This is, you know, I mean, Bobby's killing it, man.
Right.
You nailed like 3 threes in a row, went to the basket, got fouled. You brought the team back from 20.
Right.
But then, and you played that, like, y'all played that perfect defense in that last possession and a long rebound. And I'm sorry, my boy Corapa. I mean, I like that guy, man, but that's a lucky tap, man. One hand.
Crazy luck.
One hand from about 3 feet out.
From the free throw line.
Yeah. And it goes in and ties the game. And that just destroyed y'all,
man. That was
you were chewing on whatever you were chewing on that you were tasting it, and as soon as you went to swallow it, they just took it away from you. How did that? I mean, how's that feel,
bro? That was like somebody snatched your soul out. That was painful. That was hard to get over.
That's one of the hardest losses I've ever seen.
That was a hard loss for me. That was the hardest loss I've had, I think.
That's one of my questions.
Yeah,
remember right here.
For sure.
I'm like, was that the hardest loss of your life?
Yes, that was one of the hardest losses in basketball. Yes.
In basketball, yeah.
Sure. That hurt it.
Nobody realizes, man, outside of this game, they all think that we're all machines and everything, but to come back from something like that is not...
It's not easy, bro. It take a while, man. That's not...
But you guys had to come back, and then you had to play the Turkish League... And all that other stuff. But then you had that taste in your mouth all next year, right? Even though you had that bad taste in your mouth, and that motivated y'all.
Yeah.
Even though I call it the perfect storm, because at the end of the season, y'all blew it.
Yeah.
If y'all remember the year that you won it,
mm-hmm.
y'all blew it at the end of the season. I had to go to Panathinaikos. Y'all lost like 4 of the last 5
Bogdan was out, I think.
Yeah.
He was hurt. He just came back for that series, I think.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And then y'all go into Greece and
smack
sweep Panathinaikos and take them at home. Y'all caused all kinds of commotion.
We started clicking at that right time, though.
Yeah.
It just clicked.
And
started clicking.
And I have to say that Final Four was the clearest Final Four I think I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no
there
was no doubt. There was no doubt that y'all were there to win it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Antetokounmpo took Madrid in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I saw it as being a pretty easy game for y'all.
Olympiacos, yeah.
Yeah, and Olympiacos in the final game, you just controlled it from day one.
Yeah, they did.
Man, the first big one.
Yeah.
But right now, the only big one, but the first one.
Man, that was.
I'm not going to ask you how you celebrated, because I know there's probably a lot of stuff you can't tell me, but.
No, man. Like, that was like, okay, you good now for me.
That was okay.
That was like, you won your
league. You did it.
You did it. You know what I mean? This is what you came here for. You did it.
I mean, that's you can't get any more.
That's like you winning at the highest level.
Yeah.
Like everything you went through in your life was this game, this championship. One for nothing.
How many times after that, or how many times still to this day, do you, if you're on a court, if you're in the locker room, if you're at home, you know, you right now you're going to go up, take a little nap before practice, I'm assuming, if I could let you out of here in time.
Uh-huh.
How many times do you close your eyes and go, man, this is where I'm at, it's crazy. Have you gotten to the point where you've taken it for granted?
Never.
Never.
I never take it for granted.
And like, is that a thought that comes in your head frequently?
I'm always in a gratitude state. Like, I'm never too high. I'm never too low.
Love it.
You know what I mean?
Love it. Stay key. It's even
and
key
I'm always happy. You know what I mean? Because everything I feel like in my life is a plus.
Right.
Because honestly, I feel like I cheated life a little bit because I was supposed to be here. Like, hey, real.
Life tried to cheat you, so yeah. Why not cheat it back?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, I'm grateful for everything, man. Uh-huh. Like, I ain't... Okay, I'm on this team, but I don't feel like I'm like this big time dude or I'm bigger than anybody. You know, I feel like I'm a regular dude, just, you know, happen to work hard for everything you got.
It's crazy, man. And you now I'm going to obviously talk about the next 2 years real quick before we get into a little bit of personal stuff. I'll let you go. Belgrade was a tough one too because, I mean, you guys were I felt like came in as the better team. Not always a better team wins in the Final Four, obviously.
For sure.
Going for Selko's 10th title in his hometown. And that last game, man, y'all just couldn't get it clicking.
Madrid, man, they was ready.
Yeah.
Honestly, they was the better team that day.
Yeah, they were.
They was locked in.
You went crazy the day before against Zalgiris, though.
And they made sure I didn't even get jump start. Every time I touched it, bow, yeah. Foul.
I remember that.
I was like, come on, man. He's like, sorry, Bobby.
That's what happens. You go 5 for 5, you know, 3 for 6 in the 3-point line, yeah. You know, 19 points. And Zalgiris was hanging with you guys.
Yeah.
And then you just took that game over. But yeah. Madrid's like, oh, that ain't happening here.
Yeah.
Anybody else but you.
Yeah.
And the one that kills me, man, is last year.
Yeah.
Is last year. Because, man, y'all were such a good team. And such bad luck.
Yeah, we had terrible luck last year.
How does that motivate you for this upcoming season? Because, you know, a loss is easy to motivate. You guys, walking out of that, you can't be upset with your year.
No. I mean, we just, injuries just killed us last year. And, like, not to use that as an excuse, we had a great regular season. And we just wasn't healthy. Like, and in the Final Four, it's about whoever's playing the best at that time.
And, playing, you know, the best. And
ran into a team with Efes where they had all the confidence in the world. And they was clicking.
It was the worst team for y'all to match up to.
Yeah.
Because they know you.
Yeah.
Nobody knows y'all better than
then
them.
And they was just super free and clear. Like, yeah. Ready.
Yeah. It's, you know, the Final Four is one of the best events I've ever been to, man. It's awesome to be to.
Yeah.
But if that happens to you,
it's not.
But even the way you guys were injured, even if you went in a 5-game, 7-game series,
we still was gonna
still
get beat.
You still ain't winning, yeah. So it didn't matter.
Your
roles obviously changed over time, but you know, mm-hmm. it's amazing to watch you. We talked about a second ago. Your time diminishes, then all of a sudden it goes back up again, it diminishes and goes. How do you stay self-motivated? Is it still that thought process of what I've been through?
My thought process don't change. Yeah, I don't think I should be having this much minutes. I don't think I should have this much minutes.
Even if you get 5
Even
minutes.
Even if I get less. So I'm like, any opportunity I get, again, like, I'm going to make sure I be productive in that time span.
That's crazy, man. You know, I have people come up to me in the streets and be like, man, you were my idol when I was a kid. I'm like, you better get yourself better idols than me. I still can't, you know.
Right.
I can't believe that someone's coming up to me and saying that I, you know, you looked up to me. I'm like, what's that? But you got the same feelings. Like, you just respect every minute and enjoy it. And
yeah.
Let me get into just some personal stuff. I'm going to get you out of here.
It's all good.
Tough upbringing. And we talked about, you got 2 kids.
Yeah, 2 daughters.
Heaven and Angel. Mm-hmm. 13 and?
9.
And 9.
She'll be 10 on the 26th.
Where do they live?
In Chicago.
They stay in Chicago year round.
Yeah.
They go to school there.
Yeah.
Is it tough to be away from them?
It is. It's kind of tough, but you know, they like being home. You know, for me to make them come over and make them go to school over here, they'll be kind of like unhappy. You know what I'm saying? So,
how's that for you though? I mean, that's just...
I mean, it's tough for me, but you know, I understand why I'm doing it.
Right.
To get him a better life than I had. So
exactly. That's.
It's like I gotta like I rather suffer than they suffer any day.
Are you married?
Nah, just not married.
That's your mom.
Mama.
You got obviously you have the means to help your kids.
Yeah.
And something that you never had when you were growing up.
But exactly.
I know a lot of people that have the means to help their kids and don't do a good job as parents.
I know the feeling though.
Yeah. So, well, what's your philosophy as a parent, man? I mean, because.
I got girls. You know.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying?
I got two boys and one girl. Yeah, man.
Girls is like everything to me. Like I can't tell them no.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
So yeah, so I'm like, I just gotta make their life better than mine was. That's how I look at it. Like, you know, I don't wanna see them struggle, you know. I want them to have the best education.
But that's not a financial thing either though. That's where some people get that confused.
Yeah.
You know, that's got nothing to do with money it's got to do with
just being there.
Yeah.
It's not so much about money. Just showing them that you care.
How often you FaceTiming them?
Every day. Twice a day.
It's crazy, man. Back when I played over here, man,
FaceTime.
Wasn't no FaceTime. And you made a phone call, cost you 200 damn euros.
Exactly.
You know, it was like, you know, crazy. Now it's like.
World is huge.
Yeah, man. You got FaceTime. You got everything to do.
Yeah.
So you said your mom's good.
Yeah, my mom's good.
Everything's cool.
Cool. She's chilling.
How often do you see her? Just in the summertime?
Does she come over?
You ever bring her over?
My mom do not mess with planes, man.
She don't do planes, huh?
She's old school, man. Super old school. She cool. Like, she can't be on no plane for that long.
How about Brian?
Brian, I'm trying to get him over here, man. He's working. He's in Arizona right now.
He's got a book out or something, right? Or he's doing some kind of thing for kids with education or academics or something like
that. Yeah, he's trying to get
this. Just dedicated his life to...
Bro, he gave his life to kids, bro.
That's crazy,
like,
man.
He helped so many kids. It's crazy. And it was like a genuine help. You know, like most people help people for like... alternative motives and different reasons. His was all genuine.
Man, that's being rich for real.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I don't care how much
that's
money
why to this day
bank,
ain't nothing he can't ask me for.
Right.
Like, but he don't ask me for nothing.
But he's still a big part of your life.
For sure. Talk to him like twice a week.
I think I told you about the decent child that I had. Look back, I realized all this stuff, man. But it's crazy to think of what you've been through. Your story is crazy. And I got to ask you this, man, because every now and then I catch you. You're not a big Instagram. You're not a big social network. You do your thing every now and then. But every now and then I see that big white beauty, man. That big white. You know what I'm talking about, right?
That rose, man.
Yeah. Come on.
I mean, that's just like.
Why are you trying to make me jealous, man?
No, man, that's not. No, that's not what I try to do. I try not to post.
You drop 20, that makes me jealous. But then I got to see a big white rose and the thing, dude. It's like.
No, man. I do that for like, cause that's just like a symbol for me of like hard work, bro. I don't do it for no other reason to like make other, you know what I mean? Try to stun
or make other people jealous. I get it.
That was just some for me. You know what I mean?
How many people told you, man, don't be stupid, save your money. Don't go buy a damn $200,000 car.
I mean,
I know Brian had to tell you that.
Yeah, he probably, you know, but see, agent? I'm kind of smart though. Like I bought an apartment building, so my apartment building pays for that car.
Okay.
You know what I mean? All right. So,
good. So that's not coming.
I'm not paying for it.
All right,
it.
So you're...
It's leased.
You're getting yourself set up for...
Yeah.
All right, it's leased too.
Yeah, I give it back anytime. So.
All right, okay.
But cool. I'm thinking about buying it though. I don't think I'm...
how do you give that up, man?
Give it back. You can't go back.
That thing's pretty too, man. You got to have a nickname for it, right?
No, I ain't name it.
Oh, I'm gonna come up. I'm good at coming up with nicknames.
If
I walked into your house, you got a house in Chicago?
Yeah.
If I walked
Frankfurt.
In Frankfurt.
Yeah.
If I walked into your house, one of my favorite questions is how far do I have to walk into your house to realize what you do for a living?
My house ain't crazy big like that.
Right.
It's like so.
But still, where would I have to go? Where am I gonna know that this guy plays basketball? Other than just seeing your strut.
Probably my shoe room.
Your shoe room?
Yeah. Probably see my shoe room.
How many?
probably got like 300 pair of shoes.
300? Yeah. Like
sneakers. I'm a sneaker. I'm a sneakerhead. Like, yeah. That's my only vice.
But sneakers, not regular, not dress shoes.
Nah.
Yeah, and then all that skins, all that other stuff, none of that. No.
I'm a Jordan guy, Off-White, and Nike guy.
Summer camp in Chicago?
Yeah.
Free.
I do a camp for kids.
How many kids?
It'd be like 100 kids.
Free.
Free, man.
Who spits that bill?
Me, I pay for everything. Give them T-shirts, trophies, snack, man, every day, Gatorade.
I'm going to have to delete this. I do camps here. I got to make a little bit, man. I got to delete this part of the conversation.
That's what I'm like. I just feel terrible because I remember me as that little kid, man. Like, that's just me personally. I remember me as that little kid. I ain't have it.
Yeah.
And for me.
So you give them back.
Yeah. I ain't have it. So I got to do it.
That's incredibly generous. And you there the whole time?
Yeah, I'm there the whole time. Kids.
Playing with running, them, running, with them,
yeah.
Teaching them.
Jesus, yeah. That's the whole time. Awesome, me and a couple of my homies, yeah.
Finish up here. I want to bring up the bad news, man, but we talked about your age earlier. You'll be 38 when this contract's over.
Yeah.
I've heard, you know, the apartment building. I've heard some other stuff, you know, these camps and some other things. But what are your plans, man? I'm gonna give you the old man advice, man.
Yeah.
You know, at this point in my life, I've been retired longer than I've actually played.
Right.
And I never thought I would ever say that. Uh-huh. I never thought that was a possibility. Mm-hmm. It never came up in my mind.
Okay.
But it's a long road after.
Yeah.
After you're done playing, what's your plans?
I mean, you know, like, I don't want to worry about money, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So I kind of like everything I make, I kind of like put it towards investments. So mm-hmm. I own like probably like 12 buildings.
Right.
So that'll keep me, you know, afloat.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I want to change lives, man, in some type of way. I want to be helping kids that's like come from the environment I came from. Just like showing me something different.
Right.
I want to do that, but I also probably want to coach a little bit too.
You want to coach too?
Yeah.
The change in life thing is an interesting thing because you know there's only of 100 kids that come in, you might change one or two.
Exactly.
You know, especially where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what kind of sometimes makes that job difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at your boy, your role model, Brian McKinney, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so gratifying, man, when you've changed one.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you 1 minute, 30 seconds, mm-hmm. to tell a 10 to 12 year old kid in your position. Or in a position where he can't see that future that we talked about before. He can't see the way out. What would you sit down and tell that kid if you were one-on-one with him?
So what I'll say is, at that age, you gotta try to figure out what you like to do, mm-hmm. or what your passion is. You see what I'm saying? And once you figure that out, everything that is not what you want, stay away from. You know what I mean? Because it took me till I was 17, 18 to figure that out. And once I figured it out, I stuck with it. And I followed my dream of playing basketball. And it took me step by step by step by step. It was so many steps. You know what I mean? And it's a long road, and it ain't easy.
Right. I said that. So a lot
of these, so a lot of these kids be wanting that instant success, man, and it don't work like that. It's extremely hard to do the right thing.
Yeah, welcome to the new age, man. Everybody wants it so quick, man. You get on Google.
It's extremely hard, bro, to do the right thing.
And the one thing that you say that you told that 10 to 12-year-old kid is you know, find out what you don't want.
Yeah.
And what you didn't want was to go back.
Yeah.
You never wanted to go back.
Yeah.
Yo, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's been 2 years, man. I've been dying to sit down and talk to you.
For sure.
From the bottom of my heart, I can't appreciate the time more. I know it was a long trip today. I know you've overextended your time with me.
Mm-hmm.
Your story is amazing. It's inspiring. It's everything. My only last question for you, man, who's gonna play you in the movie?
Man.
Come on.
I don't know.
Will Smith is too tall.
Yeah, he's too tall.
who's gonna play you in the movie?
That's a good question, man. I got to think about that one.
All right, we're going to leave that for the next time.
All right,
my man. Sure. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, bro.
You too.
Yep.
Be good.
All love.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.